Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the tailgate for another week. I'm still shocked we haven't gotten canceled, although we didn't see anything that bad last week, so let's keep the streak going. We have some great talk today. Brian Kelly's not looking good, neither was LSU. At times they did. Notre Dame, Ohio State, Clemson. We got some coaches who might be blackmailing their team or their school and a lot more, so stick with us. Check it out. So they wanted a stable presence, a guy without a lot of scandals, so they hired someone who killed students.
Yeah, the LSU way.
Just going to put that out there just so we don't get sued.
Well, thank you for that. I'm not sure whether I should be offended or taken as a compliment, but you know, go on. Put them both in a jousting tournament.
None of it matters. Texas A&M's going to go 8-4 this year, and half those kids are going to transfer.
Are you sure?
All right, we're back. Kiernan, how the heck are you, bud?
I'm great. I'm so glad college football is, you know, thoroughly back. It's week one. It's not this 0.5 bullshit anymore. It's proper games, proper times. Let's get it done.
Exactly. And I'm sure some fans felt that way last week. LSU fans were not feeling that way Sunday night. For those who missed it, LSU went down the field while down 7. Scored what would have been the game-tying touchdown with the extra point, but it is blocked by the FSU defense. Kiernan, I know you have some thoughts on this.
It is a bad look outright to lose to FSU like that. Let me put it to you this way. LSU should not be the type of team that should be just barely getting by in the fourth quarter. They should have a commanding second quarter lead or third quarter lead and shut them down in the fourth. I think it's daft that they even – I think it's a bad look on Brian Kelly if he's forced to get to the fourth quarter and lose, but even come that close and lose. If this, and especially with Daniels, I think his last name is –
Daniels
on after unfollowing LSU and taking down all of his stuff.
That was Boutte.
Oh, sorry. Excuse me. Yes, sorry.
And a linebacker did that too.
Oh, did he? I didn't hear about that. I only heard about the – anyway, not important. The fact that, you know, all of this shit has happened is just – LSU is like – looks like it's in chaos right now, and it's so funny to watch.
Yeah, it's – I do agree. If they had lost by like a score or two and didn't have the other issues, it would have looked better than having two fumbles on punt returns, penalties, a defensive player trying to decapitate Jordan Travis. I think this 1-point loss looks worse than if FSU had won by two scores.
Agreed. Absolutely agreed. Yeah,
and
it was ridiculous.
I wrote about this right after the hiring. Is it the right move? And I talked about his record versus Alabama, Georgia, and Florida State under Jimbo Fisher. But still, he now moves to 0-7 versus Alabama, Georgia, and now a heavily depleted Florida State team. Going into halftime, he said, "I don't think we can get much worse, but it's my first game, so I don't know." That's not what you want your fucking coach to say.
Seriously. Your coach should be inspiring you, not, you know, trying to drag you through the mud.
Like, if he had just said, "I don't think we can play much worse, we're going to come out in the second half better," that's still better than, "I don't know, it's my first game."
Yeah, I mean, it makes you seem like you haven't prepared or coached at all for this whole offseason, and it just looks like you're totally unprepared for a major assignment. That's what it looks like.
And then a reporter came in late to their press conference. And he said, oh, this person's late. Like, we'll let her ask the first question. She owes me $10. And she said, maybe if you win, I'll be on time. Which is the most incredible thing I've ever heard.
Love it. Absolutely love to see it. It's just like, I think the expectation was higher for Brian Kelly coming. I mean, it absolutely was higher coming into this season. And having a reporter do that to you is just, like, honestly, he handled that quite well. Because he said, oh, it's got nothing to do with winning. It's about being on time, I think is what he said. Or I might be paraphrasing a little bit there. But I'm like, fucking grade A burn, but honestly, solid recovery from Brian Kelly. I wish he could just do that in a game.
Jesus Christ. Fair. The reporter did not try to walk it back. Not really. Like, I was running lakes of a doctor's appointment. I apologize. It wasn't my finest hour. He says I still owe him $10, and he was chill about it, though. Which, probably, like you said, best performance that Brian Kelly's had in his LSU tenure. But the dead kid counter is still at zero.
So far.
Improvement over Notre Dame. Also, I just love that out of the Power Five schools, the SEC and the SEC was 14-0, 13-0 going into that game.
Yeah.
And then LSU lost.
Yeah.
Just chef's kiss. Perfection. Yeah. I would have liked the SEC to go 15-0 just so I could be annoying about SEC dominance again. But
genuinely, Kevin, what would you rather? Would you rather go 14-0 or 15-0 knowing that LSU won, or 14-1 knowing they lost?
14-1 knowing they
lost. Yes, it is.
Of all the SEC schools, I would have wanted to see Auburn, Tennessee, LSU, A&M, or Georgia lose. But I'm kind of happy that LSU and Brian Kelly lost. I think that's my number one spot just because of Brian Kelly.
Hey, it's a 2-for-1.
Yeah, exactly. So I love a bargain. So a nice little 2-for-1 deal. I get to watch that shit show. Oh, it's perfect. Speaking of struggling in week one, they did still win. What the hell happened in Notre Dame versus Ohio State?
I was shocked. I think I said this last week, and I think I agreed with you that I don't really want to watch this game. So I think I might have turned it on in the second quarter, or maybe third quarter. And I was like, hang on a minute. This is actually a game. Like, these two teams are in it, to win it sort of thing. And I was genuinely shocked because it was 10-7 at half. And I was like, I was really thrown off. And then Ohio State scored, and I thought, I mean, that's not an unwinnable match now. You know, it's totally doable and within a reasonable football team's range. But I think it wasn't so much that the Notre Dame defense was particularly good. It was missing Smith and Jigba, because I don't think OSU could produce any offense whatsoever without him there. Because he went down in what, the second quarter?
He went down in like their first drive.
Oh, did he? Oh, yeah. See, I don't even know because I wasn't watching.
He had two catches in that game.
Right. So, you know, terrible fantasy pickup maybe, but not that there is fantasy in college.
Well, there is, but it's a pain in the ass.
But you get my point, though.
Yeah.
Week one, injury. Damn.
Yeah, and even...
Yeah, go on.
Like, even Egbuka going off, Marvin Harrison Jr. had like a quiet game, 5 catches, 56 yards. Travion Henderson, 15 carries, 91 yards, no touchdowns. Is this a concern for Ohio? And also, I'm not saying Ohio State necessarily played poorly. I think we all might have been a little wrong on Notre Dame. They might be not number 5, but a little bit better than people expected. But is how reliant Ohio State's offense seems to be on Jackson Smith and Jigba to get the ball moving, is that a concern for them going forward?
Absolutely, because if you can't Because, okay, granted, we did ridicule Notre Dame to the point where we might have been a little bit unfair. But at the same time, this kind of goes to show that we both assumed, and I think a lot of people assumed, that OSU was just going to take this game, you know, away. I mean, OSU was 17.5 point favorites. That's nothing like what we saw. That was an 11-point deficit, and to be honest, the whole game, it could have gone either way.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all owe Notre Dame and Marcus Freeman a bit of an apology.
Agreed.
And I'm sure Ohio State will bounce back from this. I'm sure preseason jitters or early season jitters, everyone was a little rusty this week. But yeah, I mean, it's just from your Heisman front running quarterback, 223 yards, two touchdowns, not great. And if he had contributed on the ground a bit, maybe I'd think differently, but three carries for 1 yard. So yeah, not great. You need to see more out of CJ Stroud if he's going to keep this conversation going about him potentially being the number one overall pick over Bryce Young and Will Anderson.
Absolutely. And I think we owe Marcus Freeman a very specific apology, because in that game, or before the game, he said, and we talked about it last week, that he was going to focus on the run or stop the run. Like, that was their main concern. And I guess that kind of paid off for him, because the running game was adequate at best, you know, like, that's giving compliments to them. Now, granted, they did have to rely much more on the running game due to the fact that Njigba went down because they couldn't throw to him. But, you know, I think Marcus Freeman, at least I owe you an apology for saying that that is a ridiculous take to stop the run. So my apologies.
I think this is the first time I've ever said this about someone not named Nick Saban. Maybe Marcus Freeman knows more about coaching college football than I do. Maybe.
By the slimmest of margins.
Speaking of coaches who might know more about coaching college football than I do, here's one who sure as shit doesn't. Jeff Collins, what dirt does this man have on the Georgia Tech administration? They looked good against Clemson for 3.5 quarters. I chalk that more up to Clemson's struggles. But in 2015, they had a 3-9 season. Then they went 9-4, 5-6, 7-6. Before 2015, to find their last three-win season, you have to go back to 1994 when they went 1-10. Jeff Collins has three consecutive three-win seasons. Why is that man still a coach?
I genuinely have no idea.
Brian Harsin goes 6-7. And the boosters are trying to get him out of there. Jeff Collins, 3-9, 3-7. Ah, it's fine. Don't worry about it, Jeffy Poo.
Do you care to elaborate on the speculation that he has dirt on the AD, or do you just?
Because he should have been fired 2 years ago.
But who else? Paul did Johnson. Georgia Tech get.
Well, Paul Johnson did fine going. Having two 11-win seasons in his tenure, two 9-win seasons, an 8-win season, a couple 7-win seasons. Like, Paul Johnson did fine at Georgia Tech. Not great, but 7-6 to 3-9 is a horrendous drop-off. They should have gotten Jeff Collins out a long time ago. And I'm usually on the coach's side of give him 4 years, let him get his guys in there, let him get his system. No, you can't draw. That is not if you drop from 7-6 to 3-9. Did Johnson retire or did they fire him? Because I'm about to get even more mad if they fired him. I'm looking. All right, it says he's retired currently. Oh, Johnson retired. Okay, I'm not as mad at Georgia Tech now because their coach retired. But still, Georgia Tech can probably get a coach better than Jeff Collins.
The next question is who, Kevin?
Me. Bitch.
Of course it is. Because if he couldn't be Marcus Freeman, it has to be Kevin.
I did not call for Marcus Freeman's job at any point. I called for Scott Frost's job.
because that would be far too advanced.
Oh, no, it would be too advanced. I just think Georgia Tech has lower expectations still. If you could go 3-9 for 3 years and have nobody seemingly call for you to be fired yet.
Yeah, because all their fans are actually just Georgia fans, but they go to Georgia Tech.
Fair. No, like I said, no expectations. He makes $3 million a year. I would do that for way. I could win you four games for like a tenth of that.
Okay, then do it.
I will. Georgia Tech, you need to call me right now. Don't call me. My DMs are open at BellyUpKev. I am in talks for the Nebraska job, but I will come to Georgia Tech over Nebraska.
It's warmer weather. You're used to it.
Yeah, exactly. That's why.
He has watched Alabama's plays from the sidelines of the student section in Bryant-Denny Stadium. He knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, I mean, come on. I have been closer to winning than Jeff Collins has ever been in his life. Hire me.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
In my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's never been easier to communicate with people, but it's never been harder to know which platform you're supposed to communicate on. Here's a simpler solution. With call, meet, and message all in one app, RingCentral makes communication easy.
With all that connectivity in the palm of your hand, you can work from anywhere with anyone at any time and never miss a beat. Because when it comes to communication, simple is better. Learn more at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, simpler communications.
Speaking of winning, Clemson did win that game. They did cover. They struggled for 3.5 quarters, though.
Yeah.
It was bad. Clemson... They won by 31, but that was with two touchdowns with, like, 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Is Clemson back, or was Monday night just Georgia Tech being terrible at football?
I think Georgia Tech just being terrible at football. I think it's also a question of Clemson just shaking out those early season jitters, you know, just getting all the bugs out, making sure that the right plays are being called, you know, players in the right positions, running the right routes. I think after this, we'll see a better Clemson team, a more cohesive team going forward. Do I think that they'll stay at number four the whole year? That remains to be seen, but I think this is just early season jitters and nothing more.
Well, they're already number five, so.
Well,
I do
at the time of at the look looking at this little fucking thing up here, it's at number four. So,
yeah, but, they're five now. We'll get into the AP poll in a second. Yeah. The stat line is not great for DJ. 19 for 32, 210 yards and a touchdown with 13 carries for 19 yards and a touchdown on the ground. Cade Klubnik came in 4 for 6, 49 yards and a touchdown.
QBR of 94.6. Put him in.
I did. There was one play that I saw where I was like, okay, you know what? Maybe this is why they have DJ in. He was getting wrapped up, but he's so fucking big. And he just finds Will Shipley as he was falling and just flips it to him, and Shipley picks up the first. So plays like that, okay, I can kind of see why DJ is still your starting quarterback, but I don't know if he still should have been in at that point. Because that was in the third quarter where they scored to get it to, I want to say, 20-something. It was... Yeah, it got them like 24. That was the drive that got them to 24 points. So, yeah, I don't know. I still don't trust Clemson.
And understandable.
I don't see how their fans are weirdly happy with this win.
I think it's because they're just happy to see kind of production from the offense, to be honest with you. Even if it was late in the game, I think it's just like, oh, thank God we've actually have some cohesion, you know, some sort of morale boost here at the beginning of the season.
That's fair. But they were like, oh, of course we dropped to 5 and Michigan dropped us after beating Colorado State. Like, the AP poll hates us. Struggling against Georgia Tech for 3.5 quarters, I think, is a little worse than dominating Colorado State the entire game.
Yeah, seriously.
If I had to guess. Like, if you're just... if you're a Clemson fan and you only give a shit once the playoffs roll around or once the ACC championship rolls around and you don't fucking watch the games, that's fine. But don't try to complain about the AP poll then. Because if you watch that fucking game on Monday, you should have no issues with dropping to 5 because you should not be the number 4 team in the country if you can't run Georgia Tech off the goddamn field. And they try to go after Alabama fans' intelligence. Like, so many of them, like, oh, you can't read. You went to Alabama. Fuck off, dude. You clearly misread the initial tweet. You're just an idiot who doesn't know how college football works. I should not be getting this mad this early in the season.
Yeah, Kevin's going to be dead by week 8.
And it's not even Alabama. They handle business to fine. It's fucking Dabo and Clemson fans who, because they won a couple natties this century, they're like, oh, we're one of the premier programs. No, you're fucking not. You're on a nice little run. You were on a nice little run. That's good for you. You're not a premier program in college football. In terms of history, not even fucking close. Calm the fuck down.
Okay. LSU and Clemson. I have a very interesting proposition for you. We know that Kevin hates LSU. But equally, he hates Dabo Swinney. I propose a trade. Dabo Swinney for Brian Kelly. Put Dabo Swinney on LSU and watch Kevin's head simply implode with that. He's just shaking his head at me. There's no words for it. It's great.
Fucking ridiculous. I didn't start this podcast to get attacked like this. All right. Well, let's go into the AP poll.
Okay. Let's calm your nerves.
Yeah, I'm not going to get mad at the AP poll because Alabama's still number one. Hey, where's Penn State? Oh, others receiving votes. Great. Others receiving votes. Oregon.
I don't know what you're slagging me off for. I know that they're not that good. They barely beat Purdue.
Fair. Oregon at 131, Penn State with 122, Texas with 118, Cincy with 63, Florida State with 42, Fresno State with 22, Minnesota with 22, UCF with 22, K-State 18, Auburn 5. Why the fuck is Auburn up here? Auburn with 15, Mississippi State with 10, Air Force with 8, Oregon State at 5, North Carolina at 3, South Carolina at 2, USULA at 1, Arizona and Purdue also at 1. Karen, do you have any thoughts on any of that?
Nope. That's pretty accurate.
Fair. I think Army not getting a singular vote is ridiculous. I don't know if they won or lost this weekend, but
they won.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so they should get a vote. No, they did not. They lost.
I'm seeing 1-0. Why am I seeing 1-0?
I don't know, because they're 0-1. They lost to Coastal Carolina.
No. Sorry. The numbers have a semicolon at the end, so that I read it wrong. My bad.
Army should get a vote, and no one voting for them means that the AP poll hates troops. All right, 25, the Houston Cougars. At 24, Tennessee. At 23, Wake Forest. 22, Ole Miss. And 21, BYU. I don't really have an issue here so far.
Nope, all good. Seems a very perfectly reasonable 25 to 21.
Yeah, I feel like the last couple of years, like the AP poll is getting the bottom 20s pretty well.
Yeah, yeah, no real issue.
20, Kentucky, 19, Wisconsin, 18, NC State, 17, Pittsburgh, and 16, Arkansas. North Carolina State is not the 18th best team in this country. I'm sorry you needed a kicker who lost his girl in the parking lot during the game.
Oh, yeah, Jesus.
To miss a field goal and an extra point to actually beat Eastern Carolina. North Carolina State, they dropped 5 spots after that. No, they should have dropped at least 10. other than
for
that,
for Kevin, please, for the people that don't know, please explain to them that story.
So, for those who don't know, I forget his name, Owen something. I'm looking for it because I tweeted about it and I forget the account that tweeted it out. Why can't I find it? I tweet. They deleted the tweet. God damn it. So basically, a dude was posting pictures on Instagram saying, Owen Dowd, I think his name is, like, yeah, you bitch, you missed these kicks and I stole your girl. And, like, posted a picture of making out with the girl. Some are saying it was fake. I'm not sure. But, yeah, I'm suddenly okay with being single.
Doesn't seem so bad now, does it, Kevin?
No, it doesn't. Especially because I don't have someone hammering in the background when I'm trying to record a podcast. Moving on. Wait, do you have any thoughts on 20-16?
Not really, no.
Okay, moving on. Miami at 15. Miami, Florida, not of Ohio. Michigan State at 14. Utah at 13. Florida at 12. And Oklahoma State at 11.
I have a question. Did you really need to differentiate between Miami, Florida and Miami, Ohio? The basketball school versus the ACC school that is actually prominent at football sometimes? Did you really have to make that distinction? Or were you just thinking that everybody listening to us is stupid?
I did not think they were stupid. But are we forgetting the powerhouse that Miami of Ohio was way back in the year of 1998 when they went 10-1, or 2003 when they went 13-1 on the back of Big Ben? Have they really never had an undefeated season? Oh, no, 11-0, 1973, Tangerine Bowl champions.
Yes, Kevin, that's why we don't know about it. Because, A, the people who listen to this podcast are all within plus or 5 years of us. So 1993 would be the earliest that anybody even gives a shit. And before that, anybody who was alive to watch that game in 73 that you just stated has no idea what a podcast is. So why are you trying to make this certification possible?
All right, fine. They finished number 10 in the country in 2003. There you go. The
fine.
Powerhouse fine. That is the Miami of Ohio Redhawks.
From now on, we're referring to Miami, Florida as Miami, Ohio, purely to piss off Jared.
Yes, 100%. Or I might just call it Miami, not of Ohio.
Oh, yeah, it's better. Yeah, that's better. That's better. Yep.
That might be a shirt.
That is a good shirt.
So, any thoughts, though? I'll reread that because we went on a bad tangent. Miami at 15, Miami, not of Ohio, at 15. Michigan State at 14, Utah at 13, Florida at 12, and Oklahoma State at 11.
I have no real issues. I just love seeing the little change, you know, green for up, red for down, and Florida has it next to theirs, and it's just plus 25.
What I'm looking at actually just has a dash for Florida. I was like, they weren't ranked last week. I think Utah maybe should have dropped more, but yeah, that's probably more an issue with how preseason polls are fucking stupid.
Yeah, I agree.
Also, I have a way to fix college football. We'll get to in a second. Number 10, USC, not South Carolina. Number 9, Baylor. Number 8, Notre Dame. Number 7, Oklahoma. Number 6, Texas A&M. Honestly, I want to be madder about Notre Dame only falling to 8. But considering how closely they played who everyone thought would be in the national championship at the end of the year, I don't hate it, actually.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think they were ranked too highly to begin with, but a three-place drop after a loss like that seems acceptable.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. I do have issues with the fact that Oklahoma moved up two spots after beating UTEP.
Yeah, that I don't.
And I understand a lot of it is like, who wins, who loses, where were you ranked before? And that is why preseason bowls are fucking stupid. Moving on. Oh, wait, any other thoughts, Kiernan? Sorry.
None.
All right. Number 5, Clemson. Number 4, Michigan. Number 3, Ohio State. Number 2, Georgia. And number 1, the University of Alabama. I don't really have an issue with Clemson dropping a spot. Michigan moving up 4 is kind of surprising.
Yeah, it seems a bit much.
After beating up on Colorado State.
Yeah, it's not really deserving, to be honest with you. I understand, with that being said, though, I understand Ohio State moving down a spot. I wouldn't be surprised, actually, if it had been the case where they moved down 2 spots. Even though they won against Notre Dame, because it's one of those things. It's like, guys, if you're gonna try for the championship this year, you need to be way, way better than that. I think a shock, down to 4 or 5 would have been, I think, a better representation of how badly, or how they should have won. Rather, it's how I should say that.
Yeah, that's fair. I agree. I also saw Georgia fans were pissed that Alabama's still ranked number 1.
Why?
I understand where Georgia fans are coming from, honestly, a little bit. You did just beat the number 11 team in the country by 46 points. However, Alabama, unranked or not, Alabama beat up on Utah State, who, let's not forget, is the reigning Mountain West champion. Not as good as the 11th team in the country by any means. But they won convincingly, so it's hard to drop them after that.
Right.
Now, my idea on how to fix college football, Kiernan. People complain all the time about cupcake schedules. Like, every year, it's Alabama plays nobody. Oh, I'm trying to remember what school I said to you. Yeah, Alabama starting the year off with East Central Directional Dakota School of the Mines. Like, of course they won. So, if you lose.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Shopify presents cool sheets from AHA to
lying awake while you bake isn't cool. I suffered from the wrong kind of hot in bed. Heat-induced insomnia. That was my AHA moment. Bed sheets that keep you cool. Then I thought, how do I even sell bed sheets? That's when I had the idea that made it all possible, signing up on Shopify. With the help of Shopify's intuitive online store creator, I started selling sustainable bamboo sheets that keep cool year-round. And my cool idea became a reality. Hot sleepers around the world rejoice. Shopify makes it simple to keep your cool while starting and growing your business. Start selling with Shopify today and join the commerce platform powering millions of businesses worldwide. From AHA to anything is possible.
This is Possibility, powered by Shopify. Start selling online today. Sign up for a free trial at shopify.com/free22. Shopify.com/free22.
The team that beat you gets your ranking, and you get their ranking.
Oh, I like that.
And people go, oh, well, Kevin, like, how is that going to stop cupcakes? Conference games. If Alabama lost to Texas A&M last year, they go unranked. And then the only way they can make up ground is by winning. And now this doesn't impact conference champions. So if you want to roll the dice on making it to the conference champion and beating a top four team, by all means, go for that. But that's wouldn't it be kind of nice for everyone else to see Alabama unranked all year? Now, it would suck for y'all to suddenly see them then win the SEC championship and just become the number one team in the country.
Right.
But I still think that would fix the cupcake issue.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. I'm hesitant to put my full support behind it just because I think that there's a couple things that could possibly go wrong, but honestly, as an initial thought, it's not bad. It's not bad at all.
And this would only be for CFP rankings, by the way, because I don't like preseason rankings. I don't like early season rankings. Those come out later. So they have an initial ranking based on how you did, and then after that, it's the absolute shit show that would come from you get the ranking of the team you beat.
Yes.
If they're
that would be
higher
fun.
Than you. Oh, that'd be awesome. I might do that. Once the first college football playoff rankings come out, we'll do the tailgate rankings, which is just that system.
Yo, that would actually be pretty funny.
That'd be awesome. I'm going to do that. So yeah, there's my idea on how to fix college football. I think it's a pretty good one, but also I'm a fucking idiot. So speaking of being a fucking idiot, Kiernan, do you know what time it is?
Who's the idiot?
Well, actually, no, but we can do that if you want. I was going to. We can do that. That's fine.
No. Go in the order you had.
It's comeback season, baby. We're going over week one. That was a terrible transition. Kiernan's was better. I should have listened to him. So last week we picked the backyard brawl, Cincy at Arkansas, Oregon at Georgia, Notre Dame at Ohio State, and BYU at USF. For those who missed our week zero episode, we're doing it a little differently this year. We're picking a winner of each game, tally it up, end of the season. There might be a prize. Haven't decided yet. We'll figure it out. But anyway, West Virginia at Pitt. Kiernan predicted 36-14 Pitt. I predicted 30-24 Pitt. It was 38-31 Pitt. So the over hit, Pitt did not cover, but Pitt won. So I won that game. Cincinnati at Arkansas. Kiernan said 32-21 Cincy. I said 35-27 Arkansas. It was 31-24 Arkansas. Arkansas still did cover. The under hit, but because Kiernan picked Cincy, none of this matters. I get the win there as well. Oregon at, yes. Oregon at Georgia. Kiernan had Georgia 38-18. I had Georgia 40-28. Final score was 49-3 Georgia. The under did hit, and Kiernan said, Kiernan and I both had the overhitting. We both had Georgia covering, but Kiernan was closest to the actual score, so he gets the win there. Notre Dame at Ohio State. Kiernan had Ohio State 40-14. I had Ohio State 45-14. It was 21-10 Ohio State. I had a push for the over-under. Kiernan had the under, but we were both so far off on this game. We're both taking an L here. It was either going to be we both take an L or we both get a win. We're both just going to take an L.
Yeah, it's better that way.
And then BYU at USF. Kiernan had 32-24 BYU. I had 45-10 BYU. It was 50-21 BYU. So BYU covered. The over hit. Yes, we both had the under, but I win that one because I was closest and we weren't super far off.
I grossly underestimated BYU.
Oh, yes, you did. They got that dog in them. So, Kiernan's still up. It's 5-3 now, Kiernan. So, it's comeback season, though. I told him I needed a good week to get back on the board. I'm back. 5-3, that is much easier to come back from than 8-0. Or actually, it would have been 9-0 because we picked 5 games last week. Now we're moving on to week two. First off, we're doing Alabama at Texas. Kickoff is at noon at Daryl K. Royal Stadium in Austin. Bama is a -20 in this game. with an over under of 64.5. Kiernan, who do you have?
Definitely Alabama. There's no point in picking otherwise. Whether the I definitely think they're going to cover, and I definitely think it's going to be more than 64.5 points. So I'm going to go with Alabama 48. And if I do my math correctly, Texas 17. Is that correct? I don't even know. Okay. Yeah.
That just 17. That is 65.
Yeah. So yeah. There you go. Perfect. I did do my math right.
Alabama 60, Texas 21. Bold prediction, but I forgot to put this team we have winning, but I think I could have figured out who we're picking for Alabama.
Yeah, it's really not a tough guess.
Next up, number 20, Kentucky at number 12, Florida. Kickoff is at 7 in the Swamp in Gainesville. Florida's a -5 with a 52.5 point over under. Kiernan, who you rock, or actually, yeah, Kiernan, who you rocking with?
I want Kentucky to do well, but I don't think they're going to beat Florida. So give me Florida 32, Florida 32, Kentucky 24.
Okay. Kentucky hasn't beaten Florida in the Swamp in a while. It's been a very, very long time. I don't know if I trust Mark Stoops. He has had a bad last couple weeks in terms of just things he said.
True.
But this is the year.
This is the year they'll do it.
Give me Kentucky 24, Florida 21.
Oh, that's a good scoreline. Oh,
I'm
you got
going
me,
to,
you,
I'm
you got
going
me second guessing my myself. Pick now, Kevin. Oh. Shit. Bring Florida's score down to 28-24. It's gonna be I have to.
There. I like how that took you to the under with my score.
Yeah, no, I agree. Oh, that's going to be close.
This one is really just going to come down to who wins Florida or Kentucky. Because whatever it is, unless like one team blows out the other, well, even then, it's if Florida or Kentucky wins, that's who wins this week's pick.
Yeah.
Next up, number 9, Baylor at number 21, BYU. Kickoff is at 10:15 because fuck the Mountain West. It's at Lavelle Edwards Stadium in Provo, Utah. BYU a -3.5 with an over-under of 53.5. I'm going to go 35-28 Baylor.
It's 3.5. I'm going to go BYU 32, Baylor 21. Yeah.
Okay. I also changed mine. I'm going 35-31 Baylor. Just for posterity's sake. Next up, UAB at Liberty. Kickoff is at 6. It is at Williams Stadium in Lynchburg, Virginia. UAB is a -6.5 with an over under of 50. I'm going to go 21-19 UAB. Actually, no. Fuck that. We're going to go 28-19. Why not?
I'm going to get UAB UAB 30, Liberty 21. I'm just kind of prices writing you there. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you really are. You're just...
But no, I agree with you.
Actually, no, you're not prices riding me there. You're going with the over. I'm going with the under.
No, I know, but that's my point, is that I'm getting it just so it's the over. I just Fair. Wanted the one. That's all I wanted next year. I was gonna go right at 50, and I was like, no, that's no fun. Give me the over.
If it went right to 50, though, that would be incredible.
It would be.
All right. So there you have it. There are week 2 picks. As a reminder, this is not a gambling podcast. Do not listen to us when it comes to your money.
No idea what we're talking about. It's purely what we're gut feeling in the moment.
Yep. And honestly, I think that's the best way to gamble. Just whatever you're feeling in your gut, that's what you go with. I'm going to lose so much money when Massachusetts legalizes gambling.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So much money. Like October, they're thinking maybe.
Oh, nice.
Speaking of people who do not know what the fuck they're talking about, this week's edition of Who's the Idiot features Joel Klein. But first, Who's the Idiot is brought to you by Yeats. Head over to yeatsofficial.com, promo code TAILGATE for 10% off your order. They are incredible sunglasses. I wore them my entire vacation, both in Ireland and on Martha's Vineyard. So go check them out. They're always dropping new styles, and they are incredible. So Joel Klatt, someone I hate the most in when it comes to college football media, he has some thoughts on the college football playoff, or the 12-team format for the college football playoff. He's in favor of it. He said,
that's a huge deal. I don't care if they lose in the first round. Folks, you have to understand that the only way to define yourself as successful in the modern college football is to make the college football playoff. And only 10% of the teams in the last 8 years have been able to say that. That's a problem.
Cannon, what are your thoughts? Like, is he an idiot and everyone else defending this 12-team format? Or are they the right ones in this instance?
He's an idiot. And I'll tell you why. So let me first start off by saying I understand why they're moving to the 12-team playoff. I get it. It means there's more TV deals. There is more chance for, you know, recognition of the, you know, the programs 5 through 12. There's, like I said, the TV deals for conferences, the teams, there's more money moving around. There's more football for all of us football junkies that just want to watch football because we feel like it's so short as it is. And it's great. More football, always fun. The problem with it is that it's Alabama. Then there's 50 feet of shit, and then there's literally everyone else. And there's no point because I had to look this up because I wasn't sure. Oh, fuck, now I've lost it. I've lost the thing I was looking at now. We're gonna have to clip this. Ah, here, I found it. So the college football playoff started in 2014, as we all know, and it was Ohio State versus, did I get this wrong?
No, 2014, it was Ohio State versus, yeah. I want to say Oregon.
Yeah, it was Oregon. I'm looking at it here. Yeah, sorry. So Ohio State versus Oregon, and Ohio State won. Now, the championship has been going on since 2014, and out of the, what, I think we're running on, 8 years now? So this is coming up to our 9th year. Alabama has won 3 of them. Been runner-up in an additional 3 of them, lost in the CFP once, and didn't make it in 2019. The other team, the only other team that has more than one win is Clemson, who won it in 16, won it in 18, and they were playing Alabama both times. The other time that Alabama lost, or runner-up, was against Georgia last year, as we know. What this 12-team playoff means is that Alabama now has to put their second and third string guys out there to save their main guys for the actual competition that they have to face. The other teams at, you know, 11 and 12, and if they get a freak win against 5 and 6, are going to have to go up and play Alabama, even though they might never even see the light of day normally against Alabama. They have to go now play them and just get horribly messed up by them, or, you know, one of the big four teams or whatever. So it's, you know, it's Ohio State, it's Clemson, it's Oklahoma, you could technically consider them, or Georgia. Like, these teams that are playing it at 11 and 12, if they get a freak win against 5 and 6, they're suddenly in, you know, the championship, and it's pointless. You're just going to get run over by a far superior team, specifically Alabama, and I don't care if it's got to do with more inclusion, you know, of other teams and to get their names out there. It's pointless. They're just going to get destroyed anyway. Do I really want,
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
A Pac-12 team going up against Alabama? No, I don't care about that. I want to see Georgia versus Alabama kick the shit out of each other again. Like, it was fun. That's the entertaining football. Not 12 teams where, you know, it's pointless. There's no point to the 12 teams until you can, you know, handicap Alabama and, let's say, Clemson. Until you can handicap those SEC teams and the, you know, the Ohio State and the Clemson of the world, you can't, there's no point in playing them. It's a worthless game that Alabama now has to prepare for when they are already going to the national championship. So maybe expand it to six, maybe, and give Alabama, you know, one and two the week off. But not 12. There's no point in that. It's just going to be a shit show for everybody involved.
Yeah, I agree with everything you just said. I also think we're overlooking two big factors. This would add 10 games to the season before you reach kind of the it's actually adding 8. So you're adding about 2 months to the season. I don't think they're going to do that. They're not going to push the season into March. They're not going to compete with March Madness for their national championship. And so that means they're going to cut games back in the regular season. So it's like, oh, it's more football. No, it's not. It's not more football for all of you. It's a little bit more football for the teams who actually make the playoffs. But it's not more football for 13 down. You're not getting more games that way.
Right, and then, that's a great point I didn't even bring up. Yeah.
Yeah. And then it's going to be, this happens every time they try to tweak the playoff system. And I'm not saying the BCS was perfect. I'm not saying it was good. But before it was, you just have people vote on who the best team in the country is. They're the national champion. Well, that's not good enough. That's not fair. We need a game. All right, we'll have a computer decide the top two teams. That people will complain less, blah, blah, blah. Oh, no, now, like, 3 and 4, like, they're just missing it. They need to play. Okay, so we're going to have a committee now that's going to decide the top four teams, and then we'll have, like, clear-cut national champions. Nobody will complain. And then you're going to go to 12 teams, and the committee's still going to decide. Maybe a computer will get involved. And then you're going to go, well, 13 through 25. Like, why are we even ranking them if they're not going to play? So now we're going to have a 25-team playoff. Oh, well, the 29th-ranked team, like, we have to expand the rankings now because we're all the games matter. So we're going to have them now play because we're going to rank to 35. Oh, we have too many kids getting hurt. We're going to cut it back two teams. So we're just going to have a computer decide two teams, and then we're going to do that. And it's ridiculous. People are going to keep complaining until we reach a point where people go, this is fucking stupid. These are kids. Let's rein it all the way back to two. Look, 8, fine. If you want to do an 18 playoff, I can live with it. I still think it's dumb, but I don't think it raises as many of the issues, specifically the extension of the season. But no one is ever going to be fucking happy with the college football playoff format. It's just inevitable. Someone is going to complain. So what you do is you sit them down in a room and you tell them to shut the fuck up. We're doing it this way. We've listened to you for too long. We're just going to do this. And yeah, I fucking hate this. It's so stupid.
Like you were saying, like, it's just going to be one full loop back to the BCS where a computer decides the top two teams. And arguably, even if, you know, Alabama and, you know, Ohio State or Clemson don't make it in every year, well, that's not necessarily a bad thing. Like, I would love to see, you know, just from the past college football playoffs, I would love to see, say, Oregon take on Florida State in the – oh, wait, they did in 2013, the last BCS Bowl. Yeah, so let's – Right. That was fun. That was just fun football, right? And I think deciding the best two teams via a computer where it can't, you know, it has no human impulses and can't make, you know, or has no biases, it just says, okay, here's all the data, who's the best, who can score the most points, and who does this. And then it's just, boom, there's your two teams, have them play for a national championship, boom, you're done. It, while it had its flaws about, you know, not picking the best, you know, the quote-unquote best team, blah, 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 it has none of the human bullcrap that we have to deal with. So it's arguably the best system. And it's going to, and like you said, it's going to get to the point where we're just going to come back to it. So why not scrap the whole thing right now and just go there to make it simple?
I think college football is a big problem right now, that every decision they make is to take down Nick Saban and make things fair. And
right, you need to handicap Nick Saban.
Nick Saban and Alabama aren't going to be around forever. As much as I want them to be, they're not. Nick Saban's eventually probably not going to retire, but he's eventually not going to be coaching anymore. Alabama is eventually not going to be dominant. This is now two different college football playoff formatting that Alabama has killed. By winning 3 and 4 years, people wanted more teams. Now that Alabama is, hey, guess what? Is still fucking winning. Well, now we need to open the transfer portal. Okay. Hey, disgruntled five-star from Louisville, you want to come play for Nick Saban? Yeah, sure. That's tampering. You can't do that. We're going to add a window now for transfers. Oh, we're going to let teams pay players, so we can kind of get away from all the good players going to Alabama. Okay. Hey, you want to come play for Alabama for money? Yeah, sure. Why not? Like, it's not going to work. It does not work out in your favor. It's fucking stupid. Just keep shit the way it is. It was working fine before.
Great.
Oh, I fucking hate this bullshit.
So it's week one, and we've pissed Kevin off more times than all of last year. And we're only approaching week two. This is going to get real bad towards about week 9 or 10.
Jesus Christ. I'm going to give my medical bills to you, Kiernan. You're going to pay for this.
No, I'm not dealing with your problems.
This is damaging my heart. some quick hitters. Now, I mean, it's Texas is fucking soft. They put opposing bands in the upper bowl and only give them 500 seats. And that includes the band. It's all fans and the band. It's ridiculous. I cannot wait for them to join the SEC, because in the SEC, they said you can't fucking do that. So yeah, Texas is scared of the $1 million band, which is just pathetic. Kiernan, any thoughts on Texas being soft?
come on, Texas. Really? Like, you give out 500 tickets for everyone that's coming down there? Like, how scared do you have to be of other teams to not want their fans there, that you get to ridicule at the end of the game, pointing and saying, ha ha, you suck? That, just accept the fact that there is going to be opposing fans in your stadium, and actually have a good football team and win the game and then taunt them afterwards. Just stop being cowards. Yeah, no amount of cheering is going to help your shitty-ass football team anyway.
Fair. Ed Orgeron is a hero. He was told he was being bought out for $17.1 million. Asked him when they wanted his locker clean or his office cleaned out by, and which door he should leave out of. American hero.
Legend.
He was not going to fumble that bag. He knew that that was a gift horse, and he was not ready to look it in the mouth.
Yeah.
Sam Hartman is back. Apparently, the medical issue was blood clots. He had to have surgery to have one removed. It's all clear to go for this week's game, Wake Forest versus Vandy. The dream's back on. Wake Forest is winning the ACC with the cutest quarterback in D1 football. And Pat McAfee announced, or it was announced, say Pat McAfee will be joining College Game Day full time. Incredible move. Man's electric. But is this kind of the end of Lee Corso? Is this kind of their going to start slowly phasing him out, have Pat McAfee do more, eventually taking over the mascot head.
Absolutely. I mean, Lee Corso is getting old. I don't even know. He must be in his late 80s at this point, or at least that's what it feels like. But anyway, I think Pat McAfee and Lee Corso have the same sort of mentality that, you know, they're both electric, you know, fun, quick hitting sort of analysts. And I think Pat McAfee will bring a ton to the game day squad to replace the aging Corso.
Yeah. And I mean, even when it comes to nobody, and this isn't knocking Lee Corso. I think he's great. He's been doing this for 25 years now. 35. Yeah.
Either way, it's a long time.
Yeah, it's 35 years because it happened started before I was born and I'm 25. But they're not really like analysts. They know the game. They know what they're talking about, but they're the fun guy on screen.
Right.
It's perfect. It's going to be sad to see Lee Corso go. And I feel bad saying this. He probably should have retired. I don't want to say 10, like 5 years ago.
5 years ago. Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Say five. And it's sad. It sucks. But I think it's even sadder seeing them wheel him out there every single game day. And he still has moments where he does fine. But it's getting a bit.
Yeah, it is getting to the point. And I mean, you know, people get old. People get, you know, a little bit confused and things like that. And he does seem to have... It's very evident that he's not all there. It's not like they can kind of cover it up with the guys around him. So, you know, it is time to move on. But again, Lee Corso has been brilliant. I always loved watching him every Saturday morning. I loved when he came to Penn or the whole college game day, Penn State a few times. It was great fun seeing them, but I think Pat McAfee will be a great addition, or rather replacement, for Corso.
Yeah, and I just want to be clear, none of this is disparagingly Corso in any way.
Oh, absolutely not.
Legend of the game, you cannot tell the story of college football without talking about College Game Day, which Lee Corso made. He made it, so it was can't-miss TV every Saturday morning. So I hope that he finds happiness in a soon impending retirement, but... they're starting to phase him out already at times. Like, they just have him on for the picks, and then they take him off. So it'll be sad to see, but it's time. That's a depressing fucking
way to end the show.
Karen, do you have anything else you want to talk about?
No, not that I can think of.
Jeez, I'm not ending the show on that. I'm looking something up really quick to talk about.
You fucking better, dude. That was a depressing way to end that.
Yeah, it's bad. Oh, the college football bottom 10.
Okay.
By ESPN. Let's talk about this real quick. Let's shit on some bad teams. The bottom 10. UMass is one.
Shocking.
At 0-1. The names are hilarious, by the way. Hawaii is number 2 at 0-2. Woo Mexico State, 0-2 at number 3. Temple of Doom at 4. Oregon Duck at 5. I don't know how I feel about that one. Like, they didn't play well, but Acronomius at 6. You Can't at the UConn, and Acronomius was 6. Akron. You Can't at 1-1. FI Not A U at 1-0. That's Charlotte Owen Tours at 0-2 in Muddled Tennessee at 0-1. I don't like Oregon's inclusion, honestly.
Yeah, that seems a bit harsh. I mean, I get that they lost pretty big, but I mean, they're still a good team and they're going to probably win their conference. So let's not be too hasty.
Yeah, I think that's more a reaction to where they were ranked and
that's fair.
How badly they lost.
Yeah, that's fair, but otherwise, that's...
Yeah, all right, so that's a little bit happier thing to end it on. This was fucking terrible. I screamed way too much, but we'll still be back here next week. unless I die on my birthday, that's always a possibility. I drink a lot. But if you haven't yet, follow us on Twitter at Quad Tailgate and Instagram also at Quad Tailgate. I should probably start fucking using our TikTok more. Follow me at BellyUpKev. Follow Kiernan at Kiernan_O on Twitter. And everyone have a good, safe, responsible weekend. And that does not mean don't drink. That just means do it safe. So they wanted a stable presence, a guy without a lot of scandals, so they hired someone who killed Stu.
Yeah, the LSU way.
Just going to put that out there just so we don't get sued.
Yeah, well, thank you for that. I'm not sure whether I should be offended or take it as a compliment, but you know, go on. Put them both in a jousting tournament.
None of it matters. Texas A&M's going to go 8-4 this year, and half those kids are going to transfer.
Are you sure?
Thank you for listening to this Belly Up Sports Podcast Network product. Some said we go belly up, so we made it our name, and we're still here.
This holiday, whether you're making a Baker's Simple Truth turkey for 40 or a Murray's Baked Brie for 2, Baker's has fast, fresh delivery and free pickup, so you can make holiday meals that bring you all together to create memories that last. Baker's, fresh for everyone. Free pickup on orders of $35 or more. Restrictions may apply.
Choose from a great selection of digital coupons and use them up to 5 times in one transaction. Check our app for details. Baker's, fresh for everyone.